The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the second hour here of We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Have the archive up here, little hour or so. And then Robert does a nice commercial-free one for us. So you'll have that available to you as well. See, we air from noon to 2 on the West Coast on Sundays and 1 to 3 on the East Coast in Philadelphia and New Jersey. And all of our information you can find at wethepeopleradio.us. We'd love to get your ideas for programs, guests, topics, yeah, stuff like that.
All that fun stuff.
Go ahead and email us. Yeah, email Bill. He gets a lot less email than I get.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
don't email me. Email Bill.
I hit the forward button a lot on my email.
Oh, I know.
Forward it to her, so.
Sad. So we're here with Patrick Jones from Jones Fort, which is a local gun shop.
Yeah, if you have any questions on the new laws, and there are plenty of them
good luck,
as of
good
January.
Luck to you.
Yeah. Give us a call, and we'll
pretty much the answer to everything is no. Right?
It's getting pretty close.
Can I? Yeah. No. You just mostly could say that right out of the box.
Well, it's unfortunate, you know, because, you know, here in California we have almost 40 million people, and we're becoming quickly, and I think probably now, the most restricted state in the union, and the largest in numbers, and we're the most restricted. And yet, what has it accomplished?
Yeah.
You know, all these regulations, are we better today because of the lack of freedom
than
what we were
50 years ago?
Well,
shoot, it's worked so well in Chicago and Detroit. I mean, there are so many places you can point out where, you know, restricting guns has
really just solved the problem.
Well, it's actually just made it a criminal mecca.
You could almost argue that it's made it worse.
We've argued about the 10-day waiting period for 40 years, that it was punitive by nature, and that we didn't have any problem with the background check, and we encouraged that. But waiting, making people wait 10 days was wrong. We recently, in fact, last year, we had a federal judge rule that to be unconstitutional, that if you've already bought a firearm or if you have, say, something like a concealed weapon permit, you do not need to wait 10 days. You already own firearms.
Oh, yeah,
you already have a good
that.
Background.
So what happened to that?
He gave it 6 months for anyone to appeal it. No one did. The Attorney General of California simply said no. Not going to do it.
So
and that would be Kamala
matter.
Harris, who'd be running for governor, by the way, just in
Correct.
Case you live in California.
So it doesn't matter what the voters say. They
stupid.
Just the vote is doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't matter what a federal judge says. Doesn't matter whether it's punitive in nature. Doesn't matter that no other state or very few other states do it this way.
Well, it doesn't matter that the Constitution says
right.
That
so in California, one person made the decision.
Yep.
That's the way it's going to be.
And so far, you know, and if we had a real U.S. Attorney General, they'd weigh in on this real quick, and you wouldn't see this problem.
Well, they're too busy selling guns.
Well, if we had a real Department of Justice, at the federal level, there are a lot of things to be going on, too. Well, Hillary being president.
And people have asked that all the time. They remember that, and they said, hey, isn't that 10-day wait gone by now? Because it's a real burden, and what it does, it's a punitive by nature. It restricts people. You know, when I have folks that come in from Hoopa and Alturas and New Pine Creek, you know, they don't come into town very often, and so they have to return back in 10 days, and then they only have a 20-day window thereafter to pick up, or their background check is dead.
Oh, you're kidding.
And so they have a window there, and so they don't come into town every 30 days, so they can't buy. They just simply cannot buy
right.
in Redding. And so it's done on purpose that way as a punitive measure, when these people have good backgrounds. And we know they're not criminals.
Yeah, and they bought firearms before and didn't kill anybody with them.
And we know this, and we have 50 years of history on it, and yet this is the fact. And so when the state wants to argue we just want to do certain things to help, we don't believe you. We don't believe you, and we have zero trust with you anymore because of what you've proven to
us.
Well,
and they also can't show that the things that they've done previous have had any impact whatsoever.
Any positive impact.
And
yeah.
So, you know, even though you're not that old, actually I think you're younger than I am.
Well, she's got to be older than me.
younger than you too, Bill, because we're all younger than Bill.
Oh, easy.
Jeez, Bill. You got to do this every day, too.
I do, yeah.
Just a matter of time before Bill went under the bus. So, but you've been involved in your family's been involved in selling guns and fixing them and
yep,
all the
fact,
things that gun shops
up,
do.
For, I grew up in the gun shop. It's my only job.
So and, for like 40 years, right?
I've been there since when I was four years old. My dad asked me, he said, hey, do you want to stay home or do you want to come with me to work? And I said, well, of course I want to go to work. That would be much funner than staying home with mom. And,
sure.
And soon after that, mom was at work anyways, and then all the other kids were at work. And then pretty soon, you didn't have a choice. I said, I want to play football today, Dad. And he goes, that's nice after
work. Yeah,
that's
nice. Come to work.
6 o'clock, you can do whatever you want after your homework as well. So he kind of got used to having us work, and so we started working, and we had our jobs to do. And then, you know, by the time I was... 13, 14, I was running my department and all of us kids worked. And so we were doing men's jobs at a young age. And my dad always felt that he needed to teach you a craft because you had to make yourself, make your way in the world and you had to learn and you had to do that on your own. And so when I went to college, I had a job, I had job offers, and so I was able to put myself through college easily with a good job from the things that my father had taught me. So while I was not always very happy with my father making me work, there was a purpose to it. And so I appreciated
it.
It was a useful
and
trade.
And even though you were surrounded by all those guns from the time you were 4 years old, you've managed to restrain yourself from becoming a felon.
In elementary school, one of my little projects, most kids were working on birdhouses and various things, and I decided that I would build a 40-millimeter cannon. And so as I'm wheeling this down the hallway, I couldn't drive or anything. I'm in grade school. And so I had to get my sister to drive my cannon to school, and I'd get a couple buddies, and we'd unload it, and we'd wheel it down the hallways.
We are old.
Because you could do that. You could do that in those years. And I tell you, no one ever looked at it funny. It's like, hey, there's a cannon. And I still have that cannon. It shoots really good. It's one of my favorites. And that's the kind of world it was. It can be that way again, but we've let it get to this nonsense that what we have today. And there was no problem with me working on my naval carriage on my 40-millimeter cannon in grade school. There was no problem with that.
Right.
And while it was a little bigger project than a birdhouse, there was no issue with it.
No, but now if you bite your sandwich into the shape of a gun,
you're cooking.
You're going down.
Hold your finger out. Your
yeah.
Pop-Tart.
Yeah.
Pop-Tarts
no
are dangerous.
No finger guns. You're going to go out and not come back.
Super stupid. So we have Peter from here in Reading who has a question, a comment.
Yeah, hello.
Or both.
Hello, Peter.
Fire away.
Thank you for having me. I never thought 27 years ago when I immigrated to America I'd be talking at 71 years of age about bloody guns. But, you guys have to learn to fight like Trump fights. You're too nice. The whole purpose of guns... Look, there's 33,000 people killed with handguns. That's from the Guns, Crime and Freedom book written by Wayne LaPierre. It hasn't changed much. 50% of those are through suicide, so we're down to 15 to 16,000 people. There's 100,000 people killed by bad anesthetic and all this in the hospitals. God knows how many killed by cars. The government doesn't give a damn about how many people that are killed by guns. Most of the people killed by guns aren't paying taxes. That's why the government doesn't give a damn. Now, the innocent people, that's a bad, bad situation. However, this BS about getting rid of guns has nothing to do with shooting the deer to feed your family. It has to do with protection of your family, but the main protection of your family is from the bloody government. The government, all governments are evil, all governments want to control people, and they cannot control people if people have guns and can form militias.
Well, you're
and
correct,
that's
Peter.
Where we have to attack them on. Forget about this, someone coming in, breaking into your house. I mean, that's important. But the main issue, the founding fathers, they all came from countries that were run by tyrants and despots. And the only reason the government wants to take your guns away is so they can have total control. They're getting control of our water, our food, and the guns are the last issue. Forget about the safety factor at home with the homeless guys or whatever. The main issue, the government wants to take your guns so you cannot form a militia and fight back.
No, you're right, Peter.
You're totally right.
No, and Peter, you know, he's come to council and various other things. He's very blunt, and I love him because
and we like that.
We need that. We need more of that in the world. And he's absolutely right. We've been too nice. We've let our government and governments take our rights away every year more and more, and we've become complacent. And Peter's right. We, you know, if this trend is going to change, people are going to have to get up and say, we're not going to do it anymore. And you know, and I think that's what this State of Jefferson movement's all about, is that...
Listen, look, I get so frustrated. I make a lot of excuses for Americans because Americans are the nicest people on earth. But you know, most Americans before Obama came into power wouldn't even, most of them probably couldn't even tell you what the word socialism meant. However, it was all out there. There was plenty of books out there about Barack Obama, you know, telling you what he was like before Americans elected him. But, you know, most people couldn't be bothered reading them, and I did. And, I mean, he's exactly what his books explain, mainly the case against Barack Obama with David Freduso. But you know, so, okay, you know, the media was behind him. He said all the right things. He was a good-looking guy, and, you know, he had charisma, and he people loved him, right? I didn't. But anyway,
yeah,
so I made excuses. Okay, he's in. But after 4 years putting him in again, no more excuses. I mean, today we're so bloody ignorant about what's going on. You know, what's that guy that Walters that goes around on Bill O'Reilly?
Oh, yeah, Jesse Waters.
Oh, you see how bloody stupid, you know, we're educating our children. And you know what? I am so upset and frustrated. And if Americans, I want Trump to be the, I love Ted Cruz too, and any of them up there would be better than Hillary Clinton. But I want Hillary Clinton to run. She should be in bloody jail. But I want Trump or Cruz or against Hillary Clinton, because if Americans elect Hillary Clinton, we are finished. We are finished, and it makes it easy for me, being selfish. I can just drop out of everything and say I'm no longer proud to be American.
You can go be Australian again. You've got that great accent.
No. It's not better there. This is still the best there is. And they're
still
trying
a great
to make
accent,
it like the rest of the world. You know, they want everyone equal. And I mean, the whole country's evolving around the homeless and the poor and the minorities. And I want to hear about a few bloody winners. You know, you read this local rag here in the paper. I mean, all Reading's talking about are the homeless and how to take care of the mentally retarded. As I said before, the Board of Supervisors recently, 50% of Americans have mental health problems. They put a communist Muslim in the bloody White House.
Yeah, but I can't get over the fact you said retarded on the radio, because we were just laughing about that yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Peter, for calling, Peter.
Okay, mate. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks a million. We're going to come right back. We have Bill on the line. Hang with us, Bill. You're our hostage, you know, for 2 minutes. We have to take a commercial break so we can laugh harder. Peter is great fun. Always fun. I've missed you. I should go to more city council meetings.
I should go to Outback more often.
That too. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
That was very politically incorrect, Bob. The heck?
I know.
Peter inspired you, didn't he?
Yeah. Peter's quite a guy.
That is fun.
Can't really argue with much what he had to say, though. I mean,
you know, in all seriousness, he's totally right. It is to defend us from the government. Yeah. And God knows, I don't think that's really been on people's mind more than it has the last few years.
If you want to be defended, if you want to defend yourself from the government, do you want to have a pop
hammer?
Gun, single shot, or do you want to have something that can lay down some hate, as they say.
Well, if you're in California, keep those hammers handy just in
case.
That's
right.
So we lost our hostage on hold. He'll have to call us back.
Well, we were talking about the possibility of our next governor.
Do we have to?
And what the options are there and what's going to happen when Moonbeam is gone.
They're bad and they're bad. I mean, it's...
Well, one of the things that's happened is a few years ago when the governor was being or about to be reelected, he didn't want to be seen as an anti-gun governor. And so he told the Senate and Assembly, don't put 20 anti-gun bills on my desk. Well, they did. And so the governor responded by vetoing a few of those. Several of those now, I believe three, Gavin Newsom is gathering signatures, and they'll be on the general election in November for folks to vote on. And one is very critical for us, and unfortunately it's probably going to pass in California, and that's ammo registration. And
I heard about that.
That is where you're going to have a permit. You're going to have to pass a background check first, get an ammo permit, and then the ammo that you buy will be registered with the state, and then there will be some limitations as to the quantities that you can buy. And that is going to be on the ballot for voters to agree or not to agree come this November.
So if you're a big target guy and you go out and shoot 200-400 rounds in a day, are they going to start looking at you when you're out there buying?
Well,
yes.
But clearly, if you buy larger quantities, they're going to see that as a potential issue, a red flag, if you will.
But that's not illegal.
Not illegal, but they're not going to like it. The state will not like that you're buying a large quantity. What are you doing with that amount of ammo? Why are you buying 1,000 rounds? You see it in the paper already now.
Oh, yeah.
He was arrested with a gun. He had 2,000 rounds of ammo. Well, a competitive target shooter will shoot that in a week.
Right, exactly.
So what do you – but it's how the media portrays a person with certain types of firearms, the numbers of firearms, and you're guilty through association.
Yeah.
You know, this guy was arrested on drugs, and then he had four guns and ammo. Well, there's nothing illegal with the gun and the ammo. The drugs are is, but the problem is that they've made the gun and the ammunition guilty through association. They do
right.
it every night on the news.
Because what would you need that for?
Right.
Well, you're exactly right. There was an article in the paper it was a few weeks ago where they had arrested a guy who had, and the headline was, huge gun and ammunition stash.
Right.
He had 6 handguns, 1 rifle, and 1,000 rounds of ammunition.
You're going to prison.
That is not even close to what, you know, most gun collectors would have in their possession.
Yeah, to me,
and
that's...
So they're going to be looking at them like criminals.
That's what I have under my pillow.
Yeah, I mean, that's really nothing. That's really not
charming.
A lot of ammo.
That's a charming picture. Okay, so we've got a couple questions. We have somebody who wants to know if it's going to pertain to components, gun components.
Not yet, but you always, you know, when they're working on this stuff,
yeah.
You always start with the loaded cartridge first. And as you get that under control, and as the public becomes complacent to it, then you turn your attention to the components. Because what will happen is more people will start reloading once that ban or that regulation is
right.
in effect. More people will start reloading, and then they will add to it, as we've seen them do before, and then you'll have to register primers. And they don't even have to do all the components to know who you are.
That's
you
true.
Know, if you have powder, bullet, and primer, all they would have to do is primer or powder, and that's easy enough to do. So they'll start first with the ammunition and then go into the components later on. But to be honest, there's very few people that reload compared to the total number of people that purchase. That number will change as regulation comes, and then they'll have more regulation because these guys love regulation. Now, we haven't talked about something that I think is coming. In fact, I'm going to make you this
statement. Is it something
statement.
Bad?
It's not good. and I'm going to guarantee you this, that they're talking about it, and that it will come. It's just a matter of time. So California Department of Justice, when they do a background check, they do not have their own data system. They use Department of Motor Vehicles, the database, because it's the most complete in California. It's the most vast. And they like that system, and they like that all the automobiles are registered automobiles, and all firearms now are considered to be registered. And they really like that DMV to help pay for that system that you get in the mail each year, a renewal registration bill each year. And in the future, and not very far in the future, they're going to contemplate that you're going to require a registration card with a yearly fee just like DMV. And I guarantee you it's coming.
For each gun.
For every gun. Now, that's a great tool for them, and think about it. That
oh,
if you're
yeah.
paying a fee per gun per year, how many guns you want to own? Now, the fee, of course, will be nominal to start off with. It'll be a small fee, $2. something small just to get you to do it.
Right.
And then pretty soon it's 30 and 40 and it's 50. Then it's $100. How many guns you want to own when you're paying a $100 fee per year? Now, gun collecting will be out of the question. If you have 100 guns, which is normally great, the more guns you have, the better wealth you have. But now if you're paying a $100 fee per year, you're going to die.
Yeah, you
so
can't do that.
It's a great tool, and it's coming, and it's going to be just like your automobile registration. And they've already been talking about it. Europe already has it, and it's coming to California soon.
You know, when you talk about...
So it'll take down the rest of the country shortly.
When you talk about sharing databases, I had a customer that told me a story. He went camping last year, and he went into a state park. And when he went to the little toll booth there to pay his camping fee, the gal stuck her head out of the window and said, "Mr. So-and-so, I see you have two handguns registered in your name. Do you have either one of those guns with you today?" This is at a campground.
Right.
I was shocked that's now going to be something that they'll ask you when you take your kids on a camping trip.
Well, the other problem today is that because firearms are considered registered, the state gets to keep and control that information, and they also can share that information. And with the vastness of the computers today, there is a multitude of things that they can do, and I think you would be probably shocked to know all of what they do with that information and who they share it with. You or I do not know exactly who they're sharing it with, but obviously some people are learning about who that information is being shared with. And, of course, breaches in this data also have been occurring. And who else has this information? And where have they been getting this information? Have they been stealing this information from other gun shops across California? Have they been keeping it incorrectly all these years? What has been happening? These are a lot of questions, and who's there to help us to make sure that things are done correctly and appropriately by law? And none of that is in place today. And again, this is all from California Department of Justice. The people that have been caught overcharging on every background check in California for the last decade, and nothing has happened to them. They've been overcharging and hiding that money in a special account, and nothing has happened. And
lovely.
This is the state of California.
Have you had much...
Well, hold on. We have Bill in line.
Oh,
Bill.
Okay.
Bill's being preempted by Bill.
I'll hold that thought.
The other Bill.
Yeah, I've got to hang up on you. I'm sorry. I'm working today, too. So, hey, I married somebody not long ago from Oregon, and all the weapons actually that she owns, which is quite a few, are probably going to end up back here. How do I know what's legal and what's not? Do I bring it in, like, to your shop? And then what's the best way to re-register those in California?
So under California...
I'd like to take my call off air because I can hear it better on the radio. Is that okay?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Thanks
all right.
A million. Thank you.
So good question. And so, yeah, people do come into California, and you are required to report those with Department of Justice. You can actually get the form offline or get it from DMV. Imagine that. And you report every make, model, serial number, and you send in a fee, and they will – that's called a report of ownership. It is required. And they will put those guns into your name, and California, then, Department of Justice, will have them on record so they will know where those guns are, and they will know who you are, and that is a requirement. Now – probably ought to do a list and bring it into your local gun shop like mine, and we can go through that list to make sure all those can come into California because not all guns can.
Yeah, Oregon has a whole different set of rules. I mean, you can buy guns up there, you can't get in California.
Who would have thought, you know, Oregon, I mean, it was always, you know, all those crazy people in Oregon. Now we've, unfortunately, we're sucking all the air out of the crazy room.
We've got all the crazies. Nevertheless, there are some guns that cannot come into California, and you don't obviously want to register a gun with the state of California that can't come here, that's, say, in a California assault handgun or assault rifle. So you do need to make sure that those guns may have to stay behind. That's just the process. Hopefully everything that you have can be registered with the state. That is the law today.
And congratulations on your marriage, and it sounds like your new wife is really nice and smart.
Just don't make her mad.
But don't piss her off.
Yeah.
Exactly. We've got to take a really quick break. You're listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be right back with Patrick Jones from Jones Ford.
I'm scraping the rocks and the hot sun. time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. I could afford one if I did just a little less drinking. Time to put something between me and the sun. When the talking is over, it's time to get a gun.
It's good she's going to do a little less drinking, though. All righty, you're back. No, all right.
I don't think that song made the number one charts.
Probably not.
And they were upset with Gunpowder Lead, too. Can you imagine?
I know. That's a good one, too. Huh? Are we moving that way?
Miranda Lambert, yeah.
We're in the Miranda Lambert series now. Okay, so what have we missed?
Well, you know, just it's a vast amount of information. And so as the caller had asked, you know, if he's coming into California with certain guns, what does he have to do? And he does have to register those with the state. So I feel sorry for him in that regard because that is a requirement of the law. And
the odds of them all being okay are like
slim.
Kind of slim.
Yeah, it's slim. Yeah. So he may have to leave a couple behind. And if he doesn't, that could be an issue for him. So that's unfortunate that that happens. But, you know, that's the state that we live in today, in that at least he's smart enough to know that. Because how are you going to know that? How would you possibly know that you've got to, as you come into the state of California, that you have to register all your guns with the state? Now, DMV usually gives you something, because you usually do go to DMV to get a driver's license, and they usually give you something that says you have to register all your guns, and that's usually the way people find out about mm-hmm. it. But that is a requirement of the law. It's unfortunate, and there's so many other laws out there. How do people know what they can and can't do? And it's silliness when California is passing 1,000 laws a year. You know, a legislature can't even read the text of 1,000 bills a year, and that's what they're passing. Well, how's the public going to possibly know it? And all the gun laws that have mounted up now over the last 25 years is absolutely insanity, and you can't hardly do it right. A law-abiding person literally can't. You've got to go through great effort to do it right, and it shouldn't be that way. No. And that's why people and gun owners are leaving California at an all-time rate, is because we've infringed on your freedom so greatly. We have the best state in the union, best state in the world, and we're forcing people to leave. What a sad thing, and the California legislature doesn't even get a clue.
No, they have no clue. We're causing people to get itchy trigger fingers because they're all calling us.
Excellent.
So we have Horse Creek Mike, and we've got Terry on hold, so we will tear through those. What's going on, Mike?
Well, I've got a question. Pat alluded to the fact that if my mother gives me a gun, and I go to Washington and pick it up, that I can legally, you know, she gives me a gun, I can legally bring it into California, whether it's on the roster or not.
That's the way I understand it, yes.
Okay. So,
biological mother.
Understand she's 95, 96, and she has absolutely no need for a 38 Super, a 9mm pistol, when she can't handle a 22 short. Okay, but I want one of these guns, and I can't legally buy them in California. So she goes in to the gun store, and on the federal form it says, is this gun for you? Well, if it's a gift, she has to say no, in which case it's denied. If she says yes, how long does she have to keep it before she can then gift it to me? And since I also have a Washington State ID and a Washington State concealed carry, I can go into any gun store in Washington, buy any gun that they happen to have in the shelf, and walk out with it that day. Now, it's registered to me. If I register it to her, and then she gives it to me and re-registered it to me, can I then bring it in without... You know, I'm worried about catching her up in a straw purchase business.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the things that you've talked about, you're probably going to need an attorney for, to be honest, to try to go around the law, because that is what you're talking about. You're probably going to run into some problems. Now, I can't tell you all the details about the gifting portion other than in basic terms, that your mother can gift you a gun in that vertical line, and that would be acceptable. Now, you're going to have to show residency one way or the other. Now, you can be a resident of California, you can be a resident of Washington, and for Californians, you can go to many other states in the Union, like Kentucky, and buy a firearm, but that does not mean you can bring it legally back to California. So you can buy it in Kentucky and leave it in Kentucky. And so while you can buy things in Washington, it doesn't necessarily mean that you can bring it in. And if you buy it in Washington and get it to your mother in New York, and you're probably going to run into issues with the law. I would be certain of that. But again, check with your attorney. I doubt you could probably talk to somebody at Department of Justice in California. I don't know how helpful they will be.
Who would have thought just such a shrimpy little amendment, you know, the Second Amendment would require, you know, an attorney and a, you know, hours and hours and hours of going through all the choices.
Yeah, and I mean, it's such a difficult thing here, and I hate to give somebody legal advice because I really don't, but and you really do if you're going to do those things, maybe check with the Department of Justice or get some legal advice. In general terms, you know, mother and father can gift son or daughter a gun, and that even a non-rostered gun, that still is legal in general terms. The fine detail, probably ought to seek an attorney.
Because that note from your mother isn't going to work.
Yeah, a note from my mother, and she has no problem with my competitive sports, you know. It seems obscene that I cannot compete on an equal basis with people from out of the state.
Well, it's true, and, you know, there's, again, we're restricted by 90%. You know that. You've looked at that roster, and I encourage anybody, if they're unfamiliar with the roster, if you're going to buy a handgun, you're going to need to go look at that. So you've seen we're out of most handguns. We're restricted by 90% and rising, and so the insanity, the battle is almost over, and people don't even know that it occurred. We're losing our gun rights. We're losing our freedoms. And the public is, for the most part, unaware. The paper should be all over this. They should be furious at the loss of our gun rights. But yet, the papers are liberal, and they will not print these things.
Well, because that means that you're in favor of people getting shot.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's completely illogical.
But, all right. Thank you all.
All right.
Thanks, Mike.
We got Terry. Still hanging in there on line two. Terry, what's going on?
Hey, I've got one complaint that I always have. I don't understand why the NRA and other organizations like them try to have a debate or an argument to convince the politicians like Obama and others the safety and all that, when we know darn well that they know that. They know the facts. They don't give a hoot. What they want is confiscation. Why don't we just keep saying over and over, every time we have an opportunity, confiscation, that's all you want. And they'll say, no, we want to say, no, you want confiscation. And use that. We know that they know that. What John Watt has written and all the evidence that he has, they don't care.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's the problem that we have in Washington is you're in the biggest political machine in the world, and public perception is huge, and so much games go on to try to convince the ignorant public of what may be right or wrong. And so you see all these decisions being made and arguments being structured in such a way to try to get their point across to the vast majority of unintelligent voters. And that's the games that they're playing. They can't be honest because most people wouldn't understand the honesty and the truthfulness. They wouldn't understand it because they're not there. But you're right. They're right. And you just have to be smart enough to realize that most of what they say isn't the truth. And that there is a bigger agenda, and it's about controlling people and power, and that's what it's about.
Do you think that most of the people know that people like Obama and Hillary don't give a damn about the kids that are dying? They care less.
They don't understand that. You're right. They don't understand it. They still try to take a person as it's on their word. And I just talked to a gal the other day that I was selling a gun to, and she goes, you know, I kind of like Obama's speech the other day, and he seems honest and sincere, and I had to correct her.
Did you freak out?
No, because he's good.
You're a good professional.
He's crafty. He's slick with his words. And what I told this gal, I said, you know, take a look at the history of what this guy did in Illinois. He is a staunch anti-gunner, and what he says and what he can do are two different things. And don't make any mistake about this guy. He is a staunch socialist communist, anti-gun president, and he's just simply not being able to accomplish what he wants, but he's going to accomplish what he can. And
you know, there's one thing that I always think about is that, you know, we all know that the mass shootings are horrible, but how many hundreds of thousands, I think it was, what, 1.5 million people every year, their lives are saved or protected because they carried a gun?
Good.
That's
point.
A lot more than the people we lose.
Absolutely, and the papers should be printing this, but they're not, because that doesn't sell papers.
That blows the whole narrative.
Absolutely, and so, you know, it's you know, I'm thankful for radio stations like this, what Bill and Aaron do to try to get out the truth so that people can think a little differently. Because if you read the local papers, and when they're owned by liberal organizations, you're not going to get the truth. You're not going to get the facts. And in fact, we're losing our country right in front of our eyes because of what is being allowed to happen.
And the interesting part is that what happens with conservatives, if they don't want guns, they just don't buy them.
Right.
But if liberals don't like guns, they want... They don't want anybody to buy them.
Correct.
So
I think one of the things that needs to be said by the politicians today is that if you want a gun, Democrat or Republican, you need to vote Republican or you're going to lose your gun next year.
Well, it's
well,
true,
well,
but
you
unfortunately,
just keep saying that. They're actually not allowed to tell you how to vote.
It was a good question. We appreciate the phone call.
Hey, thanks.
All right, thank you very much.
Thanks a million. Yes, and cling to your guns. And, you know, it's Sunday, so cling to your religion, too. What the heck? We need to take a really quick break. We're going to come back. We have Fred as our hostage on hold. We're not happy if we don't have a hostage. You know, it's good talking about guns, having hostages. It's fantastic.
It's what we do.
It's just good fun for everybody, good, clean fun. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Lip sits above the mantle on a couple rusty nails. Ain't worth a lot of money, and it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. My granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of the Sears Roebuck catalog. It shot a many shells over the back of an old bird dog. It backed the burglar down when Grandma took the safety off Granddaddy's gun. Just an old double barrel 12, stops cracked and kicks like hell. Wouldn't mean what it means to me to no one. Still hear his voice when I put it to my shoulder. It comes like a woman, son, it's all how you hold her. Taught me a whole lot more than how to hunt. One of these days I'll pass it on to my grandson. My granddaddy's gone.
Yep, one of our callers just married her. God love you. Go Bill and Mrs. Bill. All right, so we have Fred on the line with probably a question.
Yep.
Comment?
Fred, you there?
Thoughts?
Yes, I am.
Fire away.
Patrick.
Yes.
You know, I've been a California resident since the early 40s and have purchased numerous guns in the 50s and 60s. Am I out of compliance with California state law by not registering any or all of them?
No. No, you're fine. Keep in mind that millions and millions of guns have been sold in California, whether it was the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. And when you bought that gun, you did everything that was required within the law when you bought it here in California, and so you're fine. There is no laws as of today that you have to go back and do something different with the guns that you have. You have them, you own them, they're yours, you don't have to do anything with them. You can give them to your sons and daughters, and that is completely legal, and so you don't have to go back in time. Now, If you were to sell them, if you were to sell them to, say, your neighbor, Jim, then a private party transfer that we have in California would need to occur. And that's where you and your neighbor would go into a local gun store and wait the 10 days, and the new purchaser would pick them up. But you're fine. You don't have to go back and do anything. Those guns are unregistered, and that's fine. There are millions of guns out there that are in that category, and they are just fine. You don't have to do a thing.
One other question. If I wanted to transport any or all of them to a gun shop for whatever reason, would I be in violation of any California state law?
No. When you go to a gun shop with any firearm, that is within the law. However, you do need, in California today, most likely most of those firearms should be in a locked container. Now, if you have a car, an automobile that has a trunk, the trunk would be a lockable container, and you can put those handguns in there and long guns too. And so in long guns, you don't have to have them in a locked container. But if you're within 1,000 feet of a school, they would need to be locked. And in California, the likelihood is if you drive to a gun store, you're probably going to be within 1,000 feet of a school. So you should really, to be on the safe side, lock everything. If you have a trunk, put them in a trunk. If you have a truck, and you have like a toolbox, one of the big toolboxes, you could put them all in there. That's a lockable container. If they're in the driving compartment of the vehicle, they would need to be in a separate locked container. No ammunition in or on the gun. You could have ammo in another container, but not in or on the gun, and you can certainly go to a gun store for the fitting of a holster or repair or so forth.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. You're welcome.
Yeah, because that is kind of scary with everything we've been talking about. People are at home going, ruh-roh.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there. And, you know, a new law that went into effect January 1st of 2016 is that for now all California concealed weapon permit holders, your permit now is no longer valid, and this is a bill the governor signed, on school campuses. And so while you were legally able to go on a campus prior as a legitimate permit holder, now you cannot. And essentially, the gun-free zone on schools just became that much more dangerous now because law-abiding people like myself, we will not go on campuses and pick our children up. And so, what a sad state of affairs, but that's classic California going backwards instead of forwards.
Well, yeah, because if you're going to go commit a gun crime on a campus, you don't have to worry about anybody taking you out.
Correct.
It's your home free.
The other thing I wanted to mention before we finish today, because I know we're closing in on the hour.
Yes, please do.
But I'm very fortunate to be the producer for the Redding Gun Shows. And if you're listening in Pennsylvania, this is Redding, California, which is R-E-D-D-I-N-G. But it's I know you have a Redding in Pennsylvania as well.
That's right.
But we have two gun shows here in Redding, California. And the next one coming up is March 5th and 6th at the Holiday Inn Convention Center. That's on Hilltop Drive. And I'm very proud to be able to keep that tradition alive. It's not easy to do a gun show in California. We have lots of rules and regulations. And, in fact, I could not do it with an army of volunteers. And I want to thank my volunteers. I've got over 50 volunteers that help us man every door and every exit and man the building 24 hours a day so that we can continue to hold gun shows here in California.
Because that's what the rules say?
That's what
the
law.
You have to have a zillion people?
You have to man every door, and that is a law. And so we will follow the Gun Show Act of 2000. In fact, we are sticklers on it. We make sure that everything is done in accordance with California state law so that we can continue to have gun shows here in Redding. And so I'm very pleased that the one in March here coming up on the 5th and 6th, it'll be a sellout. Advertising will start here on February 1st, and we're going to get a lot of people coming through. We have vendors now coming from all over the western part of the United States, and ammo, reloading components, guns, new, used, old, antique, historic, modern, everything.
How many people do you expect to show up?
You know, on this year, because of all the attention in the media, I think we'll have probably at least 4,000 people go through the doors.
Wow.
And it could be higher than that. People are very concerned now, as the president has said, that he wants to dictate how gun shows are being done, that states shouldn't regulate how shows are being done, that he knows best. There's a lot of attention
Thank
on
goodness
shows.
He's almost gone.
And I can tell you that a gun show also is a place that people can bring firearms. If you have guns that you don't want to sell, you're going to have thousands of people go through there and over 100 vendors. And so you can bring a gun in. In fact, I have vendors that come come to this show just for what people bring in. They've bought some excellent guns that they can take back to their states and their cities and do well with. And so they really like when the public brings firearms into the show that they no longer want, be it new or used, old or whatever.
That's true. I bet we are good picking these days.
Well, there's just a lot of stuff that comes in and older things, something that you don't have an interest in, someone else will.
Right.
And maybe that person isn't in Redding. Maybe they're from Sacramento or San Jose, but it's a great opportunity to sell as well as buy. And so I'm very proud of the show coming up, and I really do want to thank all my volunteers.
Nice. We'll put that information on the website if you're driving along and you didn't have a chance to write that down. I'll get it on there. And we should just put a little caveat here at the end. Congress, our Congress that we have now in the House and the Senate, there's no way they're passing any gun legislation. So the stuff that's coming from the president, that's one thing, but it's not going to go through Congress and actually be a real law. It'll just be some dopey executive order.
Correct.
Boo hiss on dopey executive orders. All right. You guys have a great week. Thanks a million zillion for
coming
in.
Thank you, Patrick.
And obviously guns are a hot topic and cause people to call us a lot. So
thanks.
It's very fun.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Bob. Fun music. See you next week. WeThePeopleRadio.us.
So
bye-bye.
What's it going to take to get you on board a supervisor?